The question that I really want to ask you is, because you've led a lot of different teams in different environments and have had a lot of successful teams that you built out, I have no doubt that you've had your fair share of underperformers. How do you deal with underperformers?
The biggest challenge you have as a leader is to figure out why they're underperforming, what the problem is. And the best way to do that is through coaching. So the first place you look when you have people who aren't performing is, are they hitting those KPIs or tangibles or whatever a business wants to call them? But there are three or four things that the seller has to do to be successful. And so if you find out they're doing those things and yet they're still not being successful, then it's incumbent upon you as the sales leader. And usually this is the first line sales leader. If you find that this person, this individual is hitting all of their metrics that you felt were important to do it, then a lot of what you have to do is going to involve direct contact with that seller, going out and visit customers with that seller, and having discussions about those visits after each visit. If you develop a culture of coaching, you can give constructive coaching to the individual. When you look at all those metrics, if you can look at them and be really thinking constructively about how they can improve those tangibles, then you want to talk to the individual about what they're doing wrong. What many sales leaders don't do is get involved to the detail level, why they're not making those metrics. And then when they do get involved, they don't provide proactive coaching. Because what's important is that that individual has to face up to what they're doing wrong, typically, to try to progress them to become a performer.
Anecdotally, just in conversations with leaders, I could say they're probably not doing this, because the feedback I get from candidates is they've been told, you know, or coached out, but the words you use or the tones you use, like, how important is that?
You know, words are important, but the frequency of coaching is, I think, the critical factor. I wasn't the kind of sales leader that looked to try to demean you. What I would like to do is just to talk about where you're doing well, where you're not doing well. And if you're not making your number, it's a problem, and you need to know that it's a problem. Sales leaders are funny. You know, one of the things they don't, most people don't make their quota. Like, if I'm a sales manager, it's going to be hard to make my quota if I don't keep a full staff. So I can't have a lot of attrition, and I can't be firing a whole lot of people. A lot of sales leaders will permit underperformers to relax and just continue along their way, because maybe they believe they've got some overperformers that are going to cover up for them. I never thought that was a good idea. I always thought that what you needed to do is to build up a funnel of potential candidates that you could always go to, and so you're not reluctant to have that tough conversation with your underperforming salesperson. So the idea that you go out with a salesperson and they do a whole lot of things wrong, and you say, it was a pretty good call. Yeah, you may want to, you know, think about doing this or doing that the next time. No, you can't do that. You have to say, you know, that call was really bad.
Okay.
That was not a pretty good call. The call was really bad. You got to set the tone really up front. The call was really bad. I was disappointed that you let these things take place during the call. It doesn't appear to me that you were listening properly. But I set the tone while I leave the meeting with, that was not a good call. I'm doing the person a favor by saying it extra nice. Well, you're not. Because when you don't say it very directly, they may not hear it. And so you're not giving them a chance to fix it. Because if they think something was pretty good, but you really thought it was pretty bad, then they're going to go away with not thinking that they need to fix something. You need them to go away thinking that they need to get something fixed.
I've heard of leaders through the voice of the sellers, like the aggressive nature of just berating. Is there a time and a place for that?
Yeah.
Or not even, doesn't even exist?
If you're being described as somebody that's berating somebody, that usually means that you're not just offering them constructive advice. But I will tell you that it is important as a sales leader, people see you treat everyone fairly. Some people say, well, I would never have any constructive conversation in public, in a public forum, in like in a sales manager meeting.
Wow.
I don't agree with that. I think that if your seller hasn't been performing, it hasn't been doing what they're supposed to, it's okay to talk about that in the sales meeting. It's okay for me to say, Chris, and we've got the other sellers around, Chris, you're not hitting any of your metrics. Your funnel is weak and you're not making your numbers. We're going to have to talk about that. And the reason I think it's important that other sellers hear that in a sales meeting environment is because now you're setting the tone for the business, you know, and they're hearing it. Now, I didn't demean you in any way. I just talked about the three things that you're not doing. We could have that dialogue. I doubt you want to have it back and forth, but you did hear me.
Yeah,
in the middle of the meeting. And all the other reps heard, too. So if they're in that state, it becomes a culture that can handle that.
What I'm curious is, because you've worked in the bigger companies and you've worked in startups, what are the differences, if there's any, when coaching people, underperformers, or dealing with underperformers?
Technically, there shouldn't be any difference.
Okay.
But in the bigger companies, the formal personal improvement plan is critical. In a startup, you should do a formal one, but many times you're running so fast.
You just gotta go.
Hey, man. the informal is, hey, look, man, we talked about this last week. We talked about it a month ago. You're still not doing any of these things. We got to move on. In a bigger company, you got to do the personal improvement plan, even though you talked about it. And the reason I say that there shouldn't be any difference, the key is, does the salesperson know that they're not meeting their number? Does the salesperson know that you believe that they're not meeting their number because they're not hitting the metrics that they should be? Have you told them that? Have you coached them on how to do it? All of that can take place in 3 days, okay?
Yeah.
All the things I just talked can take place in 3 days. But it's important that it takes place. And that should take place in the bigger company or the smaller company. If you're a frontline sales manager, you have to be touching your sellers all the time, especially the ones that are underperforming. The ones that are hitting their number, it's fine, but 30% are not. You should be focused on that 30% because you can potentially help them improve to, and so that you have an 80% number or 90% number. But the way to do that is to also be strategic about building your funnel of candidates. Because I think that most sales managers, if they knew they had somebody in their funnel that could come in and do the job, they'd be more likely to coach up on a more regular basis.
How do you deal with underperformers that are giving you these sob stories that are very compelling?
Yeah, I'm going to be very direct with them. I hear you, and you know, and I'm quite confident you're going to be able to work through that. Let's get back to focusing on what you're not doing here. Okay. So I'm not, I'm not getting involved in what they got going on. I hear you, dude, and I'm confident you're going to take care of it. And as a sales leader, like I said, maybe I can't count on one hand people who have come up to me with that as a, coming up to bring their personal problems and saying, well, shoot, that just doesn't happen. And I think it's because I've set a business tone in my discussions. We coach each other. We talk to each other daily, but it's all business. But I said, I didn't face that a lot because I did stay in the business lane so much with the individuals I work with. And ultimately, by doing that, they found me to be fair. They found me to be focused on their well-being from a job standpoint. I mean, the job is in. It's an important piece of your life. And when they do the job well, I am enthusiastic on giving them credit and trying to make sure they get as much money as they can get. And when they do the job poorly, I want them to know what they're doing poorly so that they can potentially fix it.
I guess summarize the three, like a couple points ending this discussion that you would want to remind people or sales leaders that are dealing with underperformers, just to kind of highlight what we just talked about.
The first one is build a culture of coaching in your organization, because that's going to help you overperformance and your underperformance, but it's really going to help you with underperformance if you're giving them direct constructive coaching. Number two, if you're a sales leader, always interview other people. You know, one of the biggest things that keeps you from really focusing on your underperformer is you don't have a backlog. And so always be looking to have a funnel of people that can come in and potentially do the job better than the underperformers are doing it. And the third, you know, stay true and be fair. Stay true in your approach. You know, it's in business. And you want them to see everything that you do is for the good of the business and for their good in terms of, I'm trying to help you make more money. I'm trying to help you keep this job.